Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A very warm welcome to you this Monday. In today's message, Bishop Dag will uncover the three important relationships that the Holy Spirit maintains with believers. The Holy Spirit upon us, the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit with us. You will also learn more about the signs to look for to detect the presence of God and its different manifestations in a believer, as well as discovering how you can avoid the grave error of being anointed but not having the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Beautiful. Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for the opportunity that we have in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I say you may be seated, my assumption is that you are in the house watching and you are concentrating. Not that you are in the kitchen, you are cleaning something, you are doing something, but you have to just take some short time and dedicate to the Lord. Today is the last but one Sunday before we are going live in December. So you need to practice well. Because who knows whether something else will come in the world that will need us to be specialists at having church from home. Do you understand? So I need you to be good at it, having church from home. Because in terms of the church, like many, many aspects of the church have continued, even though there has been a lockdown. Yeah. Unlike some of the airlines, which have not been able to fly during the lockdown. A lot of aspects of the church life have continued. Some have been affected, but a lot has continued in spite of not physically meeting. So please take note of that. And all first lovers should be seated. You must be seated now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to stop boiling that meat or boiling whatever it is you are boiling. It will not taste nice, I tell you. It will not taste nice, I'm telling you. So stop it now and let's concentrate for a few minutes on that. You'll be washing up and then you'll be singing along and, you know, kind of like, that's not serious. Please, let's be serious. And some people are locked down. They are locked down totally. So even though some, like in Accra, there's nothing like lockdown here. I mean, there's more traffic than even a Monday or a Tuesday. Yeah, there's more traffic. Everybody is moving around. Funerals, people are packed, they are doing campaign. We have election in, I think, 20-something days. There are concerts. I mean, everything is normal. It is fantastic, although the cases are also going up. Yeah. So please, brothers and sisters, I want you to just focus on being experts at church at home. It's like a communism or one of those oppressive times. People cannot meet, but it's like we can have church, underground church. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Beautiful. Now, today, I want you to write down, I shall experience a surprise order of favors and a surprise order of inheritance as I serve God. I shall experience a surprise order, or, you know, a surprise order, like category or type of, a surprise type of favors and a surprise order of inheritance. Amen. As I serve God. Amen. Now, in Exodus, I shall experience a surprise order of favors. This is number 22 of the different offerings themes I've given you. So I don't know how many you have. Have you written them down? Yeah, this is my number 22 that I have here. All right. I shall experience a surprise order of favors and a surprise order of inheritance as I serve God. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter number 12. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. All right. Now, if you remember, what did Moses say? Let my people go that they may serve me. Do you see? Let my people go. And this was the continual request from God. Let my people go that they may serve me. Amen. Amen. Now, this is what God wants. All that God wants is those who will serve him. Those who will serve him. Let my people go. Let people go. Do you see? That they may serve me. All right? Notice Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may be rich, that they may have money, that they may have houses and jewels, diamonds and gold. No, that they may serve me. You know, the aim of God doesn't change. God is in another dimension from the dimension in which we are. We are in the third dimension. Third dimension, first dimension is one line, isn't it? Two dimensions is this way. Three dimensions is this way. Each dimension, you get a different experience. Because when you are watching me on television, you are watching me in two dimensions. You can't hold my meat. Do you understand? You can't hold my meat. You can touch the screen. Do you see? And that's about it. But to hold my meat, you need to be in the third dimension where you physically see me. Now, God exists in another dimension, which some people have even called the fourth dimension. And in that dimension, there are spirits. And there are beings that you've never seen before. But you don't have to believe if you don't want to believe. Don't argue. You know? But whether you like it or not, there's nobody who has died and come back to tell us what is there. President Rawlings died a week ago. He is experiencing the other dimension of whatever there is. He's seeing it practically. Yes. He's seeing it practically. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Yes. And so, it is important for you to be ready and to believe in God and believe in God's word, which is rich in teachings and information about this other dimension, which we are all going to enter into. At the time at which you are going to enter into that dimension, nobody really knows. Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right. Now, Moses, whoever is outside should just come in, please. You are disturbing the service. All right. Now, Moses, okay, was sent by God who is in another dimension, right, and said, let my people, the humans on earth who like me, go so that they will serve me, those who believe in me, to serve me. I want those who like me to serve me. Are you with me? Yes. And that was all. And I believe that God always looks for some people to serve him. In the book of Numbers, you see God telling Moses, number the children of Israel. Then at a point he said in Numbers chapter 1, he said, don't number the Levites. Don't number them. They are not to be numbered with everybody. They are mine. They are going to serve me. They are my special group. And don't count them. Don't count them with everybody. They are not counted with everybody. Then, later on, God told them that, told Moses that. You see the firstborn, I told you that every firstborn is for me. So he said, count the firstborns, and every firstborn child is mine. So instead of taking your firstborn children to serve me, I'm taking the Levites. So count the number of firstborns and the number of Levites. And it happened that the number of Levites was more, the number of firstborns was more than the number of Levites. Something like that. Either one was more than the other. So for the ones that were too many, he said, I think there were not enough firstborns. So he said, you have to pay an amount to the kingdom as the value of a firstborn to be given to number to make up the Levites. He said, oh, Levites, they are my personal people that like me and serve me. Yeah. You know, God has this, and you would also be like that. You want something special for yourself that focuses on you. And it's interesting that from every family, he would choose one person. That's why many times in a family, you have one person chosen. And sometimes when you look at your family, you wonder why you are odd in your family. God is always choosing one person in a family to serve him. You are the Levite. You are the chosen odd one out. And he picked them one for me. The rest can do business. Yeah, do business. These ones are mine. Are you with me?
Yes.
So God has this great desire for people who want him and who like him and who will choose him. So I pray today you'll be one of those special people who are odd in your family. Forget about being odd. I'm odd in my family. I personally don't know anybody called Heward Mills who is a pastor. I don't know. Maybe you have one in your family or you know somebody. I personally don't know anybody who is called Heward Mills who is a pastor. Maybe apart from my son. But I'm talking about uncles, and I know that we had some priests in the family some years ago, but I don't know any. I don't know. You can inform me. I don't know these people. It's not about struggling. And you are the odd one out in your family that God has chosen to serve him. All right? Now, amazing blessings wait for those who God has chosen to serve him. Not to be rich, oh. Not to be rich. To serve him. A surprise order of favors and a surprise order of inheritance awaits those who serve God. A surprise order of favors. In Exodus chapter 12, all right, verse 35. And the children did according to the word of Moses. All right? And borrowed. Okay? They asked them to go and borrow. Amen. And borrowed jewels and silver. Amazing. Because Moses told them, go and ask your neighbors for some gold and silver. Tell them you are going to worship the Lord. You bring it back. No problem. It was intended to be brought back. Is it not true? You're going to bring it back. You sent chariots to chase us so that we shouldn't come back. You force us to cross the Red Sea. How can we return the gold and the silver? You see, God will arrange things such that a surprise order. Hallelujah. A surprise order of favors and inheritance is going to come. Now, so they borrowed of the Egyptians. It was an instruction. Go and borrow. Amen. Jewels. All right. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So when they went to stand at the Egyptians, asking, please, I need some gold and whatever for the Bible says that God gave them favor, a surprise order of favor. So that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Wow. You know, one mother said, look, remember your engagement, this, whatever. Go and bring it. Go and bring it. I have some rings. These people are very, and you give it to them. These slaves, I know. You just give it to them, and a curse is coming. So hurry up. The people were gathering gold, silver, precious things in the house. A surprise order of favors. Yeah. For whatever reason, I am showing you how people have prospered in the past. Let me tell you, there is nobody who comes into this world who starts from zero and becomes very rich just by normal working. I'm telling you, money is a very mysterious thing. You think Ghanaians have not been working for years and people have not been working for years in America? In every part of the world, people have been working hard. Look at the politicians rushing all over the nation, campaigning. It's just wonderful. There is so much hard work. Before President Kufuor became the president of Ghana, at that time he was not the president, one of my pastors was having a crusade or a convention in the western region, far Takwa, somewhere there. And one day when he was in the hotel, then he saw President Kufuor. At that time he was not the president, he was campaigning. He saw him coming to that hotel also. Was working hard. Yeah. And he said to me, it's not a small thing to campaign. That was years before they came. They were, you know, it takes 4 years. It takes 4 years to get more. Oh. There is no work in this world which is a small job. I'm telling you. Take it from me. Yes. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, it does indeed, there are times of your life where a surprise order of favors do start appearing in your life, which change the balance of power and change the equation from a hustler, because God has condemned all human beings to be hustlers. It's true. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. What does it mean to you? You are a hustler. You've been condemned to hustle for the rest of your life. Yes. You are born a hustler in the rat race of life. Last week, a brother called me from America and he was complaining about black lives in America. How black lives are. He said in the black community, there is no way to break through. He said, I don't have any idea. He was there. Then I told them, come back to Ghana. He said, no, he will not come. I said, come back home. Come back home. Yeah. Yeah, we don't have black lives matter. All lives matter here. All life, we are all lives. I saw in Brazil, I saw a news article, Brazil, black lives also matter here. That in Brazil too, they are also having black lives because they killed a black man, something happened in front of a shop. Yeah, that black lives also matter here. And that they also have the same problem. People, you read my book on neutralize the curses. You understand more things. Yeah. So as we are born as hustlers, you need a divine order and a surprise order of favors. I'm telling you. That would, like, you, as you're going on a hustling life, then something comes along and bumps you up. Now, I want to say this to anybody who has ever inherited something. One of the things I've come to see, because I'm talking about a divine order of favors and inheritance. Inheritance is like a favor. Someone says, I want to give it to this person. Yeah, I want to give it to this person. A brother called the other day and said, I am rich now. My father has died. I am a rich man. People become rich when they appear. Some people become millionaires. Now, only 2% of people who inherit are able to take things further. Yes. I could not believe it. Only 2%. Most people who inherit, because of the curse, do you see, inheritance rarely helps people. That's it. Yes. You see 42 people who own one house. They will never agree. Yes. One day I saw a house. The people in the house, you know, it was a big house with a garden, grass, trees, whatever, and so on. That's a normal, when I say big house, normal house, maybe 5, 6, 7 bedrooms, I don't know, and house, garden. The people, those who inherited, they have sold the garden. They have sold what? The garden. Yes. They came together, a group of them, and sold the garden of the house. So, you know, how do you use the house without the garden? You understand what I said? You pass through, but they sold the garden. Oh, yes. Many people cannot use inheritance. But I am teaching you, if ever you inherit something, sit down and look at it carefully and tell yourself, oh God, I see your surprise order of inheritance and favor. Give me wisdom what I shall do. Yes. Because it's one of the main ways to step up from the hustler that you were born to be. I didn't say you were born to be a hustler. Somebody said, in the sweat of thy face, you shall eat bread. All human beings. All of us. All of us are hustlers. Yeah. That's why sometimes you feel sorry for somebody who's campaigned and campaigned. He has not won. He has not won. So let's vote for him so that he will at least chop some and win some of the election. It's a sort of pity for the hard work the person has been through and has never gotten anything out of it. Are you listening to me or you are going home? Amen. Now, this surprise order, are you there?
Yes.
It's coming on you.
Amen.
And I believe God. And I want us to believe God as you sow your seed today that God, it's possible. Eh? It's possible for you to change my level by a surprise order of what? Favor and inheritance. Yes. It's possible. And I'm warning you in advance that if ever God blesses you with any kind of inheritance or favor, favor means I like you. Favor means for some reason, I don't know, my mind has stopped working and you are the one that I am choosing. It's like, oh, wow. That is favor. Because the person's mind was to work through steps you're not supposed to get. Or even they will form a committee to discuss. You will never get anything. You know how it is, committees. There is always an There's a type of person who is always in every committee. Have you seen that person? He's against everything. Any idea you bring, once that person is there, things don't easily go. And sometimes they are the ones who win on the committee. Yeah. He has another perspective to everything. It's amazing. Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5. Now, verse 1. It came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. May you discover what makes you look nice. Because you may put on the royal apparel and you are not nice. Have you not seen a bride who doesn't look nice on a wedding day? You've not seen it before. I've seen many. But I look at her and say, ah, what is wrong? So I say, ah, this person is nicer than this. What have you done? What is this? What is this? What have you done to yourself? Ah, somebody who doesn't even know you has come to paint your face. You look like a gollywog as you are going forward. One time I went to a funeral. If I hadn't known the person, like I didn't know the name of the person, I would not have recognized the person in the coffin. A lady. That's a gollywog. It's a special kind of a doll. Yes. Now, because of makeup and all that, so even your dead body, you have to guide them with the makeup because they put makeup. You have makeup artists for the dead. Yes. That's why some people don't want to be seen at when they are dead. Just cover my this thing. It's called closed casket service. Closed casket. Yes. Unless he smiles and bears that it like this, you run away. I'm taking an offering. Don't lose concentration. Don't lose concentration. Royal apparel. You will look nice. You will look nice. Looking is important in favor getting. Yes. Nice looking. That's why you need to be handsome to win an election. Yes. Even if your whole body is not handsome, at least your face, the one that is seen on television, must be handsome. Or your accent. Something about you must be nice. Radio voice, TV face. You see, we are so used to accepting ugly things that we don't even object. One day somebody took a whatever for a funeral. And at the funeral, they did not recognize the person. But everybody else assumed that that is how it is. Yes. So, about 2 weeks after the funeral, somebody else came to the mortuary. When they came to the mortuary, then he was coming for his relative. When he came for his relative, all my stories are true except the one with foxes. When they came for the relative, the person said, "Oh, but this is not my relative." I said, "No, this is your relative." So, as they argued for some time, then they realized that the 2 weeks ago person was the person that the man is looking for. Yes. Now, this person. This person who was given at the funeral was a poor, not a beggar, but a very low, you know, like a not very important person. But the funeral was being held for a lawyer. Yes. So this, not a beggar, but like not an important person. He had been praised by the activists. This man has done this. He's the whatever of this. He was this. He did this. He helped this. He whatever. He said, yes, like Lazarus and the rich man. He received all the accolades. All my stories are true. I don't want to tell you the town, but it's right here. So, you see, people are used to seeing something ugly and saying it is nice by not looking directly at it. Yes. The wife was also sitting there. She didn't realize that it's not her husband. It was just a little from the mortuary. So you think, anyway, let me not go into mortuary. Yeah. She was sitting there. She didn't know. So anyway, whatever makes you nice, from today, people will not deceive you as you are thinking, I am looking nice. When you are not looking nice. I'm sure the people say, oh, he's looking handsome today. He's looking, it's not him. Anyway, a surprise order of favor. From today, I declare what looks nice, genuinely, is what you will know. Amen. And what you will hear. Amen. And what you believe. Amen. In Jesus' name. Okay, Esther. Let's go back. Esther. And it came to pass on the third day, put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne and over against the gate of the house. Beautiful. Now, verse 2. And it was so when the king saw. When the king what?
Saw.
Read a letter. Listened to an argument. Heard a discussion. Had evidence. No, when he saw Esther the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. He said, well, then he saw her. He said, all issues. Maybe somebody had even whispered to him, do you know you married the wrong lady? I don't know, she's a Jew. This, whatever. And talking. You don't know how people talk to kings behind their back. But when he saw, the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. You see, my power, my authority, my golden ticket. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. You'll be drawing near. You'll be drawing near. A surprise order of favors. Amen. A surprise order of what?
Favors
are coming to you. And when you are drawn near to the king, to his golden scepter, obviously, something good is happening. And then the king said, you see, when you have favor, you can ask certain questions. When you have no favor, you'll be far away hoping and dreaming, praying, because you are far. But when you have favor, come on dear, my dear, come nearer. And when she came near, he said, what is it? What is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of my kingdom. I mean, the guy was so moved when he saw her that he said, look at my kingdom, half. A surprise order. Did you hear what I say? A surprise order of favor and inheritance. When he saw her, that's why I'm talking about appearance. How you look. Are you not tired of people telling someone you are looking nice when what they mean is that the dress is nice, but not that you look nice in the dress? Oh. What do you think? Huh? Yes. It shall be given thee to half of thy kingdom. So you see, now she is about to receive half of the kingdom, which you cannot get from a salary. Half of Asia. Oh. That is half of Thailand, half of this, half of, Burma, half of China, half of everywhere. It's being given to you. Huh? Maybe she has not been to school and she has not had a job for a long time. She's just in the house. But when he saw her, your face will be looking nice from today. Your hair will be looking nice from today. Ah, you will not have a bad hair and people will be telling. Sometimes when I look at people, I say, oh, somebody has deceived this person. Yes. You've done cornrow and your head looks like snakes are on your head like that. And people are saying you are looking nice. An enemy has done this. Today's offering is a game changer. It's bringing in a surprise order of inheritance and favors and liking up to half of my kingdom. I'll give it to you. That's how these things come. So when you see somebody, so you own all this half of the kingdom. Say, so, hey, so where did you? I mean, so how? What do you? Then you start giving 3-7 keys to half of the kingdom. Number one, diligence. Number two, rise up early. Number three, work for 12 hours a day. Number four, connection. How do they say? Networking. Number five, what? Smart goals. Number six, experience. Number seven, work experience. Work history. Operations you work for, yes. Good CV, a presentation. I mean, many keys. The way you speak, she didn't speak a word. Yes. Your accent, your color, your this, your that. Wow. You are going to experience. I prophesy, I predict, and I pray, and I declare over your life a surprise order of favors up to half of the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Trust me, I've been around. I'm not very old, but I tell you, from what I've seen of prosperity, it's not by the usual route. It's the route of a hustler. Yeah. Unless God intervenes, you'll be a hustler all your life. Because the world you are brought here to hustle. It's a curse that is in the system. And I'm believing God that as you sow your seed, you know what I want you to expect? I don't want you to expect that $10 would become $20. No, I want you to expect that a surprise order of what? Inheritance and favors. 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 You know, one time I went to see somebody because I needed his involvement in a situation. When he saw me, he was so happy to see me. He said, "Wow, you have come to my house today? My wife will be amazed. Please sit down." He went upstairs and came to sit in front of me. And he said, "Before I hear, I don't know why you are here. I don't know what you are, because it's not like somebody I visit." He sat at a formal table. Before, I said, then he presented, said, "I want to give you this offering." He said, "Hey, but I'm not even so sure whether you are a Christian or you're." "No, no, no. Your book that you wrote is just amazing. When I saw it, as you've come here." So I said, "I've rather come that you help in some other." No. Before I started, you'll be getting a lot of amazing, surprising favors. 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 Receive favors in Jesus' name. So today, as you sow your seed, I'm not praying with you that your seed will become 10 seeds, will become 20 seeds. No. I'm praying that you receive a surprise order of favors and a surprise order of inheritance. And I am alerting everyone for, in terms of inheritance, pray that you will see through it that this is God's hand if you ever receive anything like inheritance in your life, in Jesus' name. Now take out one of the most serious and important offerings of all time of your life today. Take it out across the world, across wherever you are. Plant your seed. Today is a special seed of, if you want to give 1,000, 100, anything. Lord, I thank you. There are people that have received God's inheritance. They rubbish it. They feel that, what is the use of this? And you don't even know. You don't even know that God himself is giving you a surprise order of favors. Favors. To be chosen, to be liked, to be wanted, to be invited. It's called favor. It's a Bible word, but it means all these things. Yes. Don't joke with it, oh. When you are invited, when you are wanted, when you are liked, when you are chosen, when somebody is interested in you, it's a surprise. It's a surprise order. Why me? You like me? Hey, why? What a blessing. A surprise order of favors. I want you to believe God. 100 makes it complete. I feel that 100 makes things complete. And I want you to, that's if you believe in what I'm sharing, then sow a special seed of at least 100, a complete offering. Say, Lord, I believe 100%. And I'm getting 100% of favors, inheritance, and I believe in all these things. I receive it in Jesus' name. I'm not going naked. Favor is going to accompany me. Favor, surprise order of favor, surprise order of breakthroughs, inheritance, whatever. Just as the Egyptians were granted favor, you will be granted favor when it is necessary. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, thank you for hearing my prayer as I pray for everybody who is part of this amazing offering time. Thank you. You've taken us from being hustlers. You've given us great opportunities in our lifetime. And I thank you that we walk in your favor, we walk in your inheritance, we walk in your goodness, we walk in your love. Thank you for favor from Egyptians, from kings, from men in authority, from wealthy people, from anybody, Lord, anything, Lord. We receive it, we like it, and we will treasure it, and we receive it. And I know there are people listening, they can never imagine how, who, or what can cause them to inherit or to receive a surprise order of favor. But I know by this prayer, by this time, by the power of God that is here today, favor and inheritance is flowing now all through the atmosphere in the spirit. We call it forth out of the spirit world to manifest. And I thank you that it has manifested over and over and over and over and over again. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Thank you for hearing my prayer, Lord. Amen. Wow, what a blessing. I feel the blessing of the Lord. I think we can even close now. How many can sense that God has already ministered and spoken to our lives, to our hearts? What an amazing blessing. Amen. All right. Now, what a blessing. And all that you are giving is supporting many, many projects, many things I can see they have here. Healing Jesus campaign, convoy, another convoy is on the way. This is different from what we showed you the other day. This is another convoy heading to Madagascar and an island. This is an island convoy. This is inside the ship. On board the ship called Grand Sapphire is all going to Madagascar. It costs almost 100,000 euros to go on the ship. I'm telling you, I don't want to bother you. This is the ship. It costs almost 100,000 euros in preparation for Healing Jesus campaign on our island. We have been talking about it for years, and finally, the convoy is going there. This is different from the convoy that went to Central Africa. Yeah, it's a different convoy. This is on board the ship. And that is the cost of it. I don't want to pretend. When we are taking offering, sometimes we don't know. All right? This is our church in Burundi. One of our churches there in Burundi. Pastor Jeremy. He's a Frenchman. He's also part of the family. Amen. And many other. This is Niamey, Niger. You know that it's an Islamic nation. This is our church in Niger. They are having a service there. Amazing. Beautiful. Is it not amazing? This is in St. Lucia. St. Lucia is having church, all right, on the island. I hear they have now more corona, so they are closing down again. But this is St. Lucia, all right? Amazing. Donkor-Krome in the Afram Plains. Remember, we went to Donkor-Krome in Afram Plains in the year 2007. Bishop Saki was there in the Donkor-Krome Afram Plains preaching. And this is Jankun. Do you remember I showed you in the north, there was a church behind a river. Yes, they went there, and this is the team. They are going there. They are taking building materials that somebody sponsored. I don't know who sponsored this particular. Two people sponsored it, all right? Daddy, on behalf of the people of Jankun and myself, I wish to say a very big thank you for the church building project. Today, our chairman, Bishop K. Bishop who? Bishop Atiemu, okay, Kweku, okay, was here with Reverend Ralph from Yendi to do the profiling for the commencement of the church building. That is in, all right, in Jankun. This is the team crossing the water, all right? They are very happy. You know, they are very happy to be building the church. And somebody sponsored it from, I don't know where the person is from, huh? The U.S. Beautiful. Amen. As working in India also. Somebody has, the books have blessed some people so much. Show the, and then they are having a, they made a Bible school and they called the Bible school Dag Heward Mills International Bible School. I mean, the Indians themselves. Yes, the Indians themselves. It's not our church. No, it's not our church. It's they themselves are, they are so blessed. Yeah. And they are showing their, yes. Oh, you didn't show us the Indians properly. Oh, okay. All right. Amazing. Okay. Is it a blessing? So from around there, Bishop Katman in India. And they have formed a Bible school and called it Dag Heward Mills International Bible School. Is it not amazing? I didn't name it Dag Heward Mills Bible School. I'm telling you what somebody... The Bible school I built, I called it an akazu. Please. Amen. All right? So that's a blessing. So please, as you are giving to build. And those who want to build cathedrals, just call my secretary. She will speak to you and explain to you how much and what is involved. And all those who are building the community churches also, make sure those are beautiful chapels like this, the Jankun one where they were crossing the river. See, sisters and brothers are all part of the building. These are all our church members. They are so excited. Some of you don't know what is Jankun. It's a place. But they are all places. Jesus died for all those people. They are very happy. So we will show you the building when it's completed. Yes. Jankun behind the water. Is it exciting? Yes, it's exciting. And yes, a hero in America built it. Now, we are building every town. You see, if you ever travel to the north, you see the town by town by town all the way. Yeah, by the roadside. Yes. There's no religion that can say that Ghana is for that religion. No. You know, there are some religions that are sponsored from other oil-rich nations. They are sponsoring them to build thousands of their temples and others. Wow. So thank God that we are also trying to do our best. Amen. To take Ghana for Jesus. What a blessing. All right? So, I think he that has my commandments and keeps it. All right? Jolin is going to sing. Is there something Jolin is going to sing for? Jolin is getting married, so this is her pre-marriage singing. Yeah. She's going to Liberia to get married. Wow. So, he that hath my commandments, he it is that loves me. I like you, and I really like you, and other such songs. So, let's welcome Jolin.
Was everything to me until till I found this scripture that says it all to me. If you love the Lord, you keep His commandments. If you really love the Lord, yeah, you will go where He tells you. If you really love the Lord, you will marry Him, give yourself to Him. But that's not what I do. Oh no, I wanna change something now. Oh, He that has my commandments, He that keeps my commandments, He it is that loves me. Do you love the Lord? He that has my commandments, He that keeps my commandments, He it is that loves me. Do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Gave yourself to Him to do His mysterious will. Do you trust Him for everything? Do you wanna get to heaven and find out the Bible is so true? Because the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, yeah. It is the greatest commandment. There's no greater good than to love the Lord. And you will find out that it is so true, more than anything else in the world. Oh, He that has my commandments, He that keeps my commandments, He it is that loves me. Do you love the Lord? He that keeps my commandments, He it is that loves me. Do you love the Lord? Said to us, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh, He it is that loves me. Do you love the Lord? Do you really love him? Do you really love him? He that keeps my commandments, He it is that loves me. Tell me, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Oh yes. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you will go where He sends you. If you love the Lord, you will do what He tells you. If you love the Lord, you will give yourself to Him. There is no greater thing to do than to love the Lord. Oh, yeah. Do you love my Jesus? Do you love my Jesus? Commandments, He that keeps my commandments, He it is coming to you, love the Lord. Woo! He that keeps my commandments, he it is that loves me to you, love. I love you, Lord. I wanna serve you, Jesus. I wanna do your will, Lord. I wanna keep your commandments. I wanna love you, Lord. Oh yeah. I like you, Lord. I really like you, Jesus. I wanna serve you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Will you go where he sets you? Will you do what he tells you?
Excited to be in the house of the Lord. Let me hear a shout of victory. Let me hear a shout of praise. You know, I'm already so blessed by the prophecies during the offering. And I want to encourage you, and I've been hearing so many testimonies about the offering times that we've been having. And I want to encourage all First Lovers to send in your testimonies so that other people can be increased in faith. Amen. But I've been hearing so many powerful testimonies about the blessings of God. You know, these are things you can't buy. And I believe God is already speaking to us at this time. How many of you are ready for favors and inheritance and blessings which can only come from God? Tell your neighbor, I'm expecting favor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for the word of God, and it's time to hear from the Lord once again. Amen. Every Sunday when we come to church, we are blessed to hear the word of God. We don't hear stories and we don't watch movies. This is the most important part of the service, when God speaks to us through his mouthpiece and through his servant. Amen. And in First Love Church, we are blessed to be present with the prophet. Amen. And I believe that God is going to speak to your life. God is going to transform your life. God is going to transform your destiny. God is going to give you what you need to hear today, and you are going higher in Jesus' name. So if you are ready to receive the word of God, ready to receive the prophet, and I want you to lift your voice, your hands, your heart, and declare that nothing is impossible. Homes, come on, sing. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. Now say, hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for Jesus? Come on, be filled with the Spirit by speaking to yourselves with sounds and hymns and spiritual songs. Come on, First Love, sing. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing. Nothing is impossible. Be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit as you sing in the Spirit. Lift your hands and say, hearken to the voice. Is there anyone who still has faith in God?
Too hard for me.
Then put your trust. Come on, First Love, lift up your hands. Lift both your hands and declare over your life that everything is possible. I can't see your hands. Come on, lift your hands and declare. Everything is possible with God. Put your hands together. Let's welcome our prophet, Bishop Dag Ewart Mills. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Hallelujah. Father, thanks for this amazing opportunity that we have in you. Guide us by your mighty presence. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, today I want to share with you along very important lines of the presence of God. Amen. I have a book called The Anointing and the Presence, and that's what I'm sharing from. Because some of you haven't read the book and you don't understand it. So I want to read it to you. All right? I'm on chapter 5. That's where we are starting from. Chapter 5, The Anointing and the Presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the presence of God is three different, there are three different relationships that the Holy Spirit has with us. Amen.
Amen.
And the God with us, God in us, and the Spirit upon. So there are different English words. I don't know how you say it in French. But with us, upon us, and in us. How do you say it in French? With us is what? Avec nous. And with us, avec nous. In us, en nous. En nous. And then, on us, upon us is what? Sur nous. Sur nous. It sounds like a Suriname. Sur nous. Sur nous. Okay. Now, as we maintain this, there are different ways you can relate. All right? And each relationship produces different things. Okay? Once the relationship changes. Now, the oldest relationship is that human beings have known is the Spirit with us. Yes. And that's what we actually refer to as the presence of God. Do you see? Now, the presence of God is God with us. God is with you. All right? Now, John 14, verse 7. The Spirit of truth, John 14, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Okay? But he's going to change the relationship, and he's going to dwell in you and shall be in you. So he's with you, but he's going to change that or add another relationship, and he's going to be in you. Okay? Now, each of these relationships produces different things. It's like you can have a man, you are a woman related with a man, and when he changes the relationship after marriage, do you see, and then relates with you in a different way, right, then it produces a different effect. So your former friendship now changes, the relationship changes, and it has a different effect. And the effect is to have children. So the relationship changes. But you are still relating with the person before. The person was with you. Then the relationship changes. And that change produces different effects. So each relationship has its effect. So God with you, or the Holy Spirit with you, all right, is what you have in Zephaniah 3:17. And throughout the Old Testament, you find God was with his people. And what happens in Zephaniah 3:7? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. Many great things happen because of the presence of God, especially victories in this life. You know, like the Bible says, God was with Joseph, and he made everything that he did to prosper in Genesis 39. But you see, God wanted to make an even greater way of relating with us. And that's what he said, and he will be in you. Amen.
Amen.
So the next relationship is God in you. And that is where you find the Holy Spirit He says, and they were all filled, Acts 2 verse 4, with the Holy Spirit. They were filled. So he came into them, all right, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when God now fills you, all right, or goes into you, you speak in tongues. That it changes the effects. Do you see? Nobody spoke in tongues in the Old Testament. No one spoke in tongues. And he said, you shall receive power after the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So when people have the Holy Spirit in them, they speak in tongues and they are witnesses unto God. Amen. So after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was a lot of salvation, a lot of speaking in tongues. So one of the signs of the presence of God in another way, do you see, is the speaking in tongues. Yeah. So when you don't speak much in tongues, you know, you don't speak much in tongues and you don't spend much time praying in tongues, it's a sign that you are not much filled with the Spirit. Yeah. Being filled with the Spirit, which was a brand new thing. God had never done that before, relating with human beings, to come into you. No. But in Acts, he did it, and they were all filled with the Spirit. They began to speak in tongues, and they became evangelistic. You can easily see the presence of God in that way by whether somebody is speaking in tongues or is evangelistic. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so this is amazing. All right. Now, the third way by which the Holy Spirit relates is upon us, upon you. And that is when you describe somebody as being anointed. Okay? And Jesus described it in Luke 4:18. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay? He is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So that's why I say, oh, this man is anointed. It means the Spirit is upon him. Do you see? And he's anointed to preach, to teach, and to do all those things. Many Christians don't preach. Many Christians don't teach. There are many people who speak in tongues, but they don't preach. Do you see? There are many people who speak in tongues, they don't preach. They don't teach. So there's a certain something that is missing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When people don't have that power upon their lives. That is when you say somebody is anointed. So when a person, there are three ways upon me, and that is anoints me to preach and to teach and to heal. And with me, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will deliver. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And then you are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit goes in you. And you speak in tongues. And that is why you must speak in tongues. You know, these are very different experiences. All right? And so it's very, very important that you maintain these three relationships. Yes. Examine yourself and ask how much you speak in tongues. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Watch out for Christians who speak in tongues a lot. That's why when the Pentecostal churches were born, you see that they grew. Many people joined them. Many things grew. A lot of salvation, a lot of changes in the church. Unrespected people became important. Uneducated people became important. And there was great growth. There's nothing like being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues that changed the church, like Azusa Street revival, which brought in the flow and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? Now, You can be anointed but not have the presence of God. There are people who are anointed, like they can preach powerfully, but God changes the way he relates with them. Why is this? Because the Bible says in Romans 11 and verse 29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He never changes his mind about the gift that he's giving to you. It's like me, you know, in a sense, not like I'm trying to compare myself, but when I put somebody in charge of something, I don't usually change the person. You know, it's you who will change, but I may not change. I will not change that person. I just keep on relating with the person. Now, a number of people, you know, have lost the presence of God in the past, and they serve as warnings to all of us. And let's not be deceived. There are things that are compatible with Christianity. A lot of evils are compatible with Christianity. But if you are sensitive, you'll be watching out for these things. Are you listening to me? Number one, Saul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13, it said, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So Samuel rose up, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. All right? Now remember that David did not want to kill Saul. He did not want to touch him because he said he was anointed. Yeah. So even though the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, wow, he was still an anointed person. So David said, I don't want to touch him because he is an anointed person. I said, how can you touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You know, because once a person is anointed, he is anointed. And you see that he is anointed to be a king, and he remained king for many years, even though the presence of God in a certain way was gone from him. Yes. So you can see that you wonder, that, is God with this person or God is not with this person? And sometimes you see people can live in sin and do many evil things, and they are still seeming to be preaching, doing things, doing great things. There's also just seeing a person as a man of God is not enough. You need to be sensitive to be able to detect the presence of God. David, the king, he said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why was he saying that? David knew that he could also lose the presence of the Spirit. He had seen what happened to Saul. He knew the presence of God could leave him, even though he was still king and was empowered to be the king. That he could be the king, the pastor, the whatever, but the presence of God is gone. He knew it. And he didn't want to have that experience. Samson is another person. And she said in Judges 16, that is Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee. Samson, because he had cut his hair, according to her. She was a hairdresser. So he had cut her hair. And he woke out of his sleep. And he said, I will go out as at other times before, and I will shake myself, because the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. So I will shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Are you there? So when Samson revealed his secret to Delilah, he put himself in danger and the presence of God left him. This led to a change in his ministry. He suffered setbacks and his circumstances changed. However, true to the word of God, the gifts and calling never changed. And he was empowered to fight on and do the work of God, even in that modified and weakened situation. So, and the Bible says, and Samson called upon the Lord and said, oh Lord God, remember me and strengthen me to do my work that you've called me to do. And I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which the house stood on, and it was borne up, one with his right and his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed. So in that weakened state where the Lord had left him, there was still some amount of power to do something. That's why you have to be careful with anointed people. You have to be careful. Even you see the person seems to be falling. The person say, a good example is George Jeffries. You know, he was very, very criticized. But he is the one who prayed for Bonke just before he died. Yeah. He was very criticized of he's like this, he's that. He was rejected virtually. But he prayed for Bonke just before he died. Oh, yes. You need to be careful with anointing. So in his modified and weakened state, where the presence of God seemed to have left him, he was still empowered for his work, for his ministry. That is to be stronger than natural and to fight the enemies of God. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Yeah. He accomplished more. Accomplishment comes from the anointing. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to accomplish certain things. And that's why he was a preacher to the poor. He was healing the sick. He was opening the eyes of the blind. That is a certain power that comes on you. And that one, it may be there, but the presence of God may go. Yeah. Judas, another one. After the sup, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Judas was one of the 12 disciples sent out to heal, to teach, and freely minister. Jesus himself did not strike Judas, because he was one of the anointed apostles and disciples. Yeah. He warned him several times, but Judas took no heed. And Judas walked away. And from the presence of Jesus. He walked away from the presence of Jesus. And he said, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And Judas walked away from the presence of Jesus with the power of a disciple. Yes, with the power of a disciple. I remember the first time I heard Benny Hinn say that Jesus, we should take note that Jesus didn't say anything about Judas, because Judas was carrying the anointing. Yes. I remember. He said he left him. And he was carrying the power in the name of a disciple, in the power of a disciple, and from the presence of Jesus. And he used that power to betray Jesus, although he wasn't really betraying Jesus. He was fulfilling many scriptures that had to be fulfilled. The presence of God is the goodness of God and the presence of his person with you. Having a gift and being able to work for God is not the same as having the presence of God. In the parable of the wheat and tares, Jesus revealed a startling truth. He said that the tares and the wheat, those with the presence and those without the presence, were remarkably similar. If you ever see a picture of wheat and tares, you will understand why Jesus warned you not to touch the wheat. They are so similar that you destroy a large portion of wheat in your bid to root out tares. Yeah. Those who carry the presence and those who do not are very similar. It is not easy to tell that the presence of God has departed from a minister. So perhaps the only way to be able to see the difference is in the fruits. The sign of the presence of God in the early church was the winning of souls and a bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Today, the reaping in of dollars, pounds, and euros, rather than the reaping of souls, are used as markers of success. We do not need markers of success. We need markers of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. How do we know that the presence of the Holy Spirit is there? And you see that in the early church, the presence of God in a certain way was known and seen by speaking in tongues and being evangelistic. Yes. And you can sense there's a presence. Yes, evangelism, and you can sense there's a presence. Not economics, agenda, and what? Leadership, and financial whatever. That's not the sign of the presence. Look at it carefully. And you see that you can minister without the presence. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. As for ministering, many are ministering. You can minister without the presence of God. Samson did his work without the presence of God. The Lord, he said, he wist not that the Lord had departed. And we never heard that the Lord returned. Yeah, he never returned in that way. You see, you can go away from somebody. The person may be in your life, but not in that way. Yes, not in that way. There are people that I've related with. I'm still in their life, but not in that way. There is a way I related it, but not in that way. Yeah. I still relate. We can relate with you, in you, upon you. But remember, I choose, okay, I only relate with you, but I'll not relate in you. I'll not relate upon you. That's what the Holy Spirit can choose. I'll be in you, and I'll be upon you, but I'll not be with you. Something about my relationship with you changes. Look at some of your old boyfriends and girlfriends. How did you relate with them? Now you relate, you may still relate, although you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Yeah. That's why you keep getting into trouble, because you still have such people as friends. Yeah. Such people can call you and text you. Yeah. Somebody that was like you were married with the person before, although you were not married. And the person is still able to call you and text you. Charlie, how is it? How is the marriage? Charlie, it's not easy there. It's also not easy here. This happening here. What's happening there? Hey. I don't know why. I miss you. Hey. I miss your love. Stop acting as though you don't understand my messages. The relationship is supposed to change. And the relationship is supposed to change to zero. You are not supposed to even know the person. The person exists. Yes, but rather you have a number and you are sending messages and calls and checking. How is it there? It's not easy here. How about your end? I miss you. Can I see you on a video? Yeah. Are you listening? My message is very short today. I hope you are listening. Now, the presence of God is the glory and the goodness of God. Yes. I want you to listen to this part because it's an interesting reality. Yeah. Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to God, I'm in chapter 7 of my book. He said, my presence shall go with thee. And I will give the rest. Now, Moses said, if your presence does not go with me, carry not us up hence. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people from all the people that are upon the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. Underline that part. I will do. In the book, it's capitalized. I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken of. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now Moses was very quiet asking things. You know, this type of people can ask for bold things. Yeah. Now from this scripture, we see Moses negotiating with God for his presence. And the Lord agreed to answer Moses' prayer. That's why I gave you 8 prayers. Remember? Pray for the spirit of humility and holiness. Pray for the spirit of faith and love. Pray for the spirit of wisdom and power. And pray for the presence and the anointing. This is the praying for the presence part. He said, show me, give me your presence. And the Lord agreed to answer Moses' prayer. And he said, I will go with you. I will show you my presence and my glory. Now, The presence of God is the glory and the goodness of God. God's answer to Moses' request for his presence was what? To show him his glory, his goodness, his mercies, his graciousness, and his name. Four things. Yeah, that was his answer. And you wonder, really? Is that the presence of God? But when you read it, you'll be amazed. So number one, the presence of God is the glory of God. Number two, the presence of God is the goodness of God. In Exodus 33 verse 19, he said, and he said, when he said, I'll show you my glory, verse 18 and verse 19, he says, I'll show you my glory and I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. So the presence of God is his goodness. Then the presence of God, number three, is his name. His name. Mm. Number four, the presence of God is his graciousness. Yes, his graciousness. And number five, the presence of God is the mercy of God. Amen. Now, all these are definitions of the presence of God and are revealed from the revelation that Moses had when he asked for the presence. So when Moses asked, show me your presence, God said, okay, I'll answer you. And this is the answer. I'll show you my mercy. I'll show you my graciousness. I'll show you my name. I'll show you my glory. This is how I'll answer your prayer of showing you my presence. This is how I'll answer you. Hey, is that the presence? Listen carefully. When the Lord eventually showed him his presence and passed before him, great declarations were made. These declarations revealed the goodness, the kindness, the gracious, and the merciful, loving character of God. The presence of God reveals the good nature of God. This is the same thing we experience when we get close to people and experience their presence. When you get close to somebody and experience the person's presence, you start to notice certain things that never come if you are not in the person's presence. True or not true? When you know somebody on the television, you know somebody from afar, you have a certain impression. But when you get personal or close, if you ever have a chance, you will start noticing so many things you never knew before that you don't see from far. That's because you started to see his presence. So when you come to the person's presence, then you start to see, and you start to see the beauty, the graciousness, the mercy, certain characteristics, which are the beautiful characteristics of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now notice, this is what happens when you get close to people and we get to know their true character and their nature. It's what you get when you get really close to somebody. When you live in someone's presence, you will find out if they are lazy, if they are wicked, or if they are loving. Oh, how can I know that you are lazy? Lazy bones. I need to be in your presence. You will know when someone is wicked when you stay with the person in his presence. Those of you who think you know me, you know me when you are in my presence. Or if you have a chance to be in my presence in reality. So when Moses said, show me your presence, I'll show you. Then these are what you see. Yeah. A person's real beauty is when a person is actually in your presence. That's the real beauty. Not what you see on the wedding. That white and this and oh. That's not the person's presence. You now see the person's presence, beauty, and reality when you live in the person's presence. That's when you see smelling, lazy, moody, dark, wicked, everything. That's what comes with presence. That's why Moses said, when God said, I'll show you my glory. I'll show you my graciousness. Because when you come close to me, that's all you feel about me. It's my love, my beauty, my graciousness, my mercy. That's who I am, and that's what you really see. Those who are far, they see power, they fear. When they come near, you see love, you see graciousness, you see mercy, you see whatever. What do we feel when we come? come into your presence. That's why you can really only ask the spouse to tell the truth. Which people don't tell when there's a funeral. You know, everybody at a funeral will say, my loving husband was an amazing person. I will miss when you made spaghetti for us on Saturdays, and I will miss when you did this. Huh? Is what? If there's one word I can use to describe him, is what? Kindness. I mean, people have many things that they say. I'm not talking about that speech. I'm talking about when the person tells you the reality of what he experiences in the presence. I once had a close interaction with a man who was a pastor of a church. After my close interaction with this individual, I came away with the feeling of having met an extortionist. Yes. Yes. I thought I'd been in the presence of somebody who extorts money. I felt I'd been in the presence of a malicious person. And I felt I'd been in the presence of a Lucifer. Yes. Amazing. In spite of his soft-spoken presentation, I came away from this person's presence with a negative impression. Getting up close and personal with anyone will most likely reveal the person's true nature. Marriage is an encounter with a person's presence that reveals their true nature. Marriage is where you live in the presence of an individual almost continually. It is there that you discover the qualities, good or bad. It's there you may discover a person's lazy, wicked, incompetent, evil. You discover fears, anxieties, complexes, ways of thinking. Being in the presence of a person reveals all these things. And that is why when Moses said, show me your presence, God said, I'll show you my presence. I'll show you my kindness, my nature, my love, and my graciousness. How many want to see God's kindness, love, and graciousness? Every standing. Stand to your feet. I want us to pray for the presence of God. Amen. I want us to ask God for his mighty presence. Amen. Ask God for his mighty presence in your life. And I believe that God, remember that I said we should pray for the presence of God in your life. Increase the presence and increase your anointing in my life. Every hand lifted up everywhere, wherever you are, ask God for his presence. Ask God for his presence in your life. Ask God for his presence in your life. Ask God for his presence in your life. Ask God for his presence.
Your goodness to pass before
yes.
us.
Yes, Lord.
Your graciousness.
Yes, Lord.
We ask for more of your presence,
yes,
O Lord.
Of your presence.
We ask for more of your presence, O Lord. May the Spirit not only be upon us, may he be with us. We want to feel your graciousness, Lord.
Oh, yes.
We want to experience your mercy.
We want to experience your mercy.
We want to know you, Lord.
We want to know you, Lord.
We want to come one step closer to you, O God. We don't want to know you from afar, O God. We don't want to hear of you from afar, O God. We want to come closer to you, Lord. We want to walk with you, O God. We want to know Emmanuel, God who is with us. God who is with us. The Lord who is present. I'll make my goodness to pass before you. I will make my goodness to pass before you. I'll proclaim my name. Lord, proclaim your name before us, Lord. Proclaim your name before us, O God.
Show us your glory, O God. Show us your glory, O God. And if your presence will not go with us, then carry us not up hence, Lord. We want to go with you, O God. We want to be with you, O God. We want to walk with you, O God. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, O God. Cause your mercy to walk before us, O God. Cause your mercy, O God, to come before us, O God. Cause us to experience your graciousness, the graciousness of God, the graciousness of God. Come on, lift your hands and ask for more of His presence. Ask for more of His presence. Ask for more of His presence. God, we pray like Moses. Show us your glory.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory.
Come on, every voice, lift your hands and say, Lord, I need more of your presence. Lord, I need more of your presence, oh God. I want to serve in the presence of God. I want to walk in the presence of God. I want to pray in the presence of God. I need your presence, oh God. I don't want to just come to church, oh God. I don't want to just act like a Christian, oh God. I don't want to preach without the presence. I don't want to sing without the presence. I don't want to pray without the presence. But let your presence be with me, oh God. Let your presence be with me. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You're going home with the presence. You're going home with the presence. You're going home with the company of the Lord. I'll make my goodness. The goodness of God is passing before you. The good part of God is passing before you. You're experiencing the goodness of God. You're experiencing the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'll make my goodness. Lord, let us experience your goodness. Let us experience your goodness, oh God. Your consciousness, Lord.
Oh, yes.
your graciousness. Your graciousness, oh God. Your graciousness, oh God. For you will show grace to who you will show grace to.
Yes, Lord.
You will give mercy to who you will give mercy to, oh God. We pray for your presence, oh God. We want to experience your graciousness. We want to experience your mercy. We want to experience your graciousness. We want to see your mercy, oh God. Let your presence be with us. Let your presence be with us. Let your presence be with us, oh God. We want to serve in your presence. We want to know you, Lord. We want to be closer to you, Lord. Lord, we have tasted what it's like to be out of your presence. But today, Lord, we ask that you increase the presence. You increase the presence. You increase the presence. You increase the presence. Oh God, we come before you. Oh God, we stand before you. And we ask for your presence. We pray like Moses, oh God. Let your presence go with us. We don't want to go with an angel. We want to go, don't want to go with an anointing, God. We want to also go with the presence, oh God. We want to have your presence with us, oh God. For my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. And I will give you rest.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Lift your hands and thank God.
Yes.
Father, thank you for the amazing presence that goes with us.
Oh, yes.
Every step of the way. We thank you.
Yes.
That we will have an increase
in the name of Jesus.
In your presence, in your as presence. Never before.
Oh yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, in conclusion, just sit down for a moment. Just to conclude, as we have prayed for an increase, 2 Samuel 16 and verse 19, it says, "Whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence." Amen. We are going to serve God in the presence of God.
Amen.
And not without the presence. You know, the stories that I've told about Saul, Samson, David was afraid this was going to happen to him, Judas, and so on. You see, that's a great danger. That you may end up serving God, but serving him out of his presence. Or see that a certain relationship of the Holy Spirit is not there. Now, if you know the church, you know that there's a lot of evil in the church. Yeah, there's a lot of evil in the church. Many people are called priests, pastors, Christians. But you wonder. And in the name of the Lord, many people are doing various things. But I believe that God is bringing us, you know, for me, I would say that this has been, since I was in secondary school, I realized that you can be there without the presence of God in a certain way. So don't take it for granted. And always, for me, when I look at people, I minister with people, I see, does this person have the presence of God? Or there's nothing. It's just talking. But I believe that God's presence is going with us. Every standing. Father, thank you for your mighty presence. For serving in your presence. What a great advantage we have to serve in your presence. Glorify your children. Let it never be said about any of us that, yes, we are serving, but where is the presence of God? Thank you. Your presence goes with us, and you are with us in a special way. We give you thanks, and we give you praise. Now lift your hand. May whatever benefit there is for serving in his presence, may that benefit come to you.
Amen.
Yes. 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 As you have prayed for the presence of God to increase in your life, May the presence of God increase, and may you enjoy the benefits of serving in His presence. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness in His place. Father, thank you. Thank you for the choice to work in His presence. In the name of Jesus. You know, I want to say something. You know, there are many people in Ghana. We have a president, President Akufo-Addo. You know, if you serve in his government, you can serve in his presence, or you can be serving him, but you are in the northern region. But you still serve him. But there are those who serve right in his presence. How many agree that there will be a different experience? Yes. So that is the difference between serving in his presence and far away from his presence. Whenever you've ever served in the presence of somebody, you will know there's a difference. When Nehemiah was feeling sad in the presence of the king said, "Ah, why are you sad? Do you think they will notice whether you are sad when you are in other regions? They will never see." God is blessing you to have the blessing of the presence of the king in your life. Father, we lift our hands and we thank you. None of us here shall exist or function outside of your presence from today. Thank you. Thank you for a total relationship with the Holy Spirit. May we never depart from your presence in any way, form, or fashion. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand and pray this prayer with me, and Jesus is going to come into your life. Say this prayer if you want Jesus to save you today. You want to be saved, washed in the blood of Jesus. Lift your hand and say this prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I open my heart. I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Master, and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen." If you gave your life to Christ, you prayed this prayer, there is a number on your screen. Make sure you type in plus, and then all these numbers work from any country. If you are feeling lonely, you need a friend, you have a question, you give your life to Jesus, you prayed this prayer with me, text us on this number, and God is going to change your life through this interaction. Father, now lift your hand. Whatever we lack, Lord, if there is anyone watching and your spirit has departed from us, Lord, we are coming back to you. We are seeking your presence. For any one of us that has fallen away from your holy presence, may we re-experience your presence once again. We beg you, Father. We cry. We do not accept or want to serve away from your presence any longer. This is our prayer today, and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I believe today we are blessed because we have not only learned about the presence, but we have been able to pray for the presence of God. Take your communion. We are going to experience his body and his blood. How many know that it's a blessing to be in his presence? You know, I don't want to say that because over the years, I've had experience of working with different people. And some of them are not working with me now for various reasons. Mostly different circumstantial changes. But one of the things I notice is that a certain desire to work closely again. And it also breaks my heart, because I can see that they sense that they've lost something that was different. It's true. It's like being in church, in the First Love Church, and being in our branches. It's different. So, my prayer, you know, the presence of God is something. My prayer is that we will seek His presence, and not just His power and His gifts. You can have His gifts, but you not have His presence. Yeah. I can give you a car. Bye-bye. I don't have anything to do with you. It's nothing. The presence of a person is different from his gift. Yeah, and that's what Samson found out. That's what Saul found out. You are the king. You are the king. Be the king. Be the king. I'm with David now. I'm with David. Be the king. He's not a king. You are the king. But I'm with David. Yes. Which one do you prefer? To be the king without the presence, or small boy David with the presence? Small boy David with the presence. And that's why today, no one has, I've not yet met anyone whose name is child Saul. Yeah. Saul Abwaji or Saul Mensa. Or Saul Opoku. Or Saul Smith. Or Sola. You have Paula, but you don't have Sola. Amazing. And you have 1,000 variations of David, but not Saul. Someone whom the presence of God departed from, and you are named after that. There's something wrong with that. Father, we thank you as we come to your presence, to the holy, holy, holy communion. We bow before your presence, and we thank you that you gave us an opportunity to have a communion, an interaction, a participation, an interaction with you through the holy, holy communion. Father, as we partake of this body, may we be healed of every disease by the interaction of the communion. Thank you. Whatever is in our bodies that is not good, and whatever appetite we have that is not a good appetite, and whatever we like that is not good, let it go out of us as we partake of the amazing body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The blood. Take the wine. Take your wine in your house. Become an expert at church at home. An expert. Father, we have many mistakes. Many, 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 many. But thank you for this blood through which we are forgiven. We are cleansed. And we have a legal basis for coming to you. No devil can stop us on the way. No man can accuse us on the way. Nobody can dissuade us from coming close to you. Lord, thank you for the blood. And as we lift up this wine, we say we receive of the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Pour upon us your mighty power. As we soak ourselves in the blood of Jesus, may our sins be washed away and remembered no more. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Now lift your hands. I have one prayer for you today. Father, May a divine order of favor, a surprise order of favor, come upon your children, from the smallest amongst us to the greatest. What we don't deserve, may we be chosen for it. Where we are disqualified, may we be chosen again. Where we don't belong, may your favor lift us and place us. Where even our parents and those from whom we could have inherited have nothing, even we look after them. I pray that there will be a divine and a surprise order of inheritance for everyone that is part. Let there be a divine surprise order of inheritance and favor for everyone that is part of this amazing blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. May his brightness characterize you. May his goodness be with you. May his graciousness be shown to you. May his kindness and mercy surround you. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine and reverse all anger and angry clouds that are headed in your direction. Whatever has targeted you from the enemy's camp boomerangs and returns to sender. Atarama shotahalabaka. An eye for an eye and a hand for a hand. Let the enemy's arrows return a hundredfold back to the camp of Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Let him that loves the Lord and let him that favors the cause of the Lord be blessed. Let them that hate the righteous cause and the cause of your servants and your servants be anathema maranatha, according to your holy word. Damako sarama hatala madabaranda. A champion lifts you up and blesses you in this earth. Even before you step foot in heaven, you shall see the glory of the Lord and his mercies upon your life. Thank you, Father, for this blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I see a divine surprise order of favors upon your life. People will soon be calling you and saying, I want to be like you. I want to be close like you are close. Let him that believes experience practically the prophecies that they believe. And him that speaks blasphemies, let them be anathema maranatha. Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.